Blog Talk Radio.
Curtis Mayfield had his finger on the pulse of society. Even when we as a people did not know where we were going, Curtis musically led the way. One of my favorite parts in one of his songs said,
"People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me."
Joining us here on the Focus Show / Nation Building. Okay, I'm in for Meeshawn Daniels today. And had a conversation with Blog Talk, had our brother Meeshawn's information, asked him could I do the show on his line. I get ready to call in as the host and I can't get in. So luckily I'm fast at this. I've been doing this so long. I was able to switch everything and get it right. So I'm still pumping the message out there for them to call into the Nation Building phone number. But for those of you who are on the line, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And Meeshawn will join us soon. But I think I have Brother Leonard Walker, who is the president of Descendants of American Slaves, on the line. And I think he promised to co-host with me, so let me check in right quick. Brother Leonard, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you just fine. And thank you for co-hosting with me on Meshawn's behalf. Okay.
Hey, that's
so
no problem.
let me just give you some backdrop to what's going on here. Okay, so in Louisville, Kentucky, and Leonard, you're going to have to help me with this. In Louisville, mm-hmm. Kentucky, I think it was one of the executive officers of Papa John's Pizza actually dropped the N-word bomb and either some kind of commentary or either he made it directly to a person. I'm not sure. But mm-hmm. It sparked, of course, a reaction out of people. But as Meshawn was sharing this story with me, and you and I talked about it briefly, Leonard, you know, the question that came to mind to me was the title of this program, The N-Word at America's Businesses, because mm-hmm. he's not the first and he's not the only. But the thing about it is that as I move about in my community, and I'm pretty sure you move about in your community and everybody on this line, you're going to see some of us going into Papa John's Pizza. And what I learned today, which blew my mind because I'm an absolute fan of Netflix because I can watch what I want to watch, and I usually spend a lot of time watching documentaries and learning new stuff for new cultures. That's kind of my thing. And then I found out that one of the executive directors for Netflix also referred to people of African descent as niggas. And I was just blown away. And I was like, are you serious? You know, so Lena, kind of give us a more in-depth backdrop on where we're coming from with this issue.
Okay. what you had is you had the founder and the president of Papa John's Pizza, John Snatter, in a conversation, a private conversation, talking about Colonel Sanders, use the N-word not in a direct manner, but in an objective manner, okay? But he said the full word, okay? So, you know, as we all know, that John Snatter has kind of been in the news over the situation with the NFL and him losing business and, you know, the national anthem, the players' protests, and that sort of thing. So what the thing that makes this, even though he used the word objectively, it was a poor choice because he could have just said Colonel Sanders used to call his employees the N-word, yet and still his chicken, he never lost business over his chicken. What he was basically saying is that Colonel Sanders had committed more egregious offenses toward, you know, people of color or to promote racism than he ever did, all right? And he's catching more flack, all right? So that's as much energy as we're going to give John Snatter and Papa John's Pizza. Like I said, the use of the N-word, it's kind of a confusing thing because I'm getting ready to ask a question, and I've asked it before, to people, and I've got various different answers, but I'm looking for the honest answer, okay? And mm-hmm. that is when was the first time in your life that you can remember, and who was the first person to ever call you the N-word, okay? Now, I'll share my story first. The first person to ever call me the N-word was not a person that was considered white or European, but my own grandmother. And she was calling me that, not as a term of endearment, but, you know, because I was being bad or being mischievous as a little child. I think I was maybe three or four years. Matter of fact, I can remember. Me and my cousin, you know, as little children, decided we were going to play flipper in the living room and poured about an inch and a half of water on the living room floor. Which was tied. My great grandfather came and my great grandfather said, and my grandmother's name was Shirley. He said, Shirley, they got the Chicago River in the middle of the living room. And we was playing, we were playing like we were, and that, you know, kids do that kind of stuff. And yeah, you know, as somebody said, boy, I would have told, and that's what grandma did. Okay, but that's when grandma called us the N-word. And I seen her say it with anger and with, you know, with anger and with, you know, vitriol. All right, so that's how I knew that that was a bad word. Okay, I knew that was a bad word from that point on. Okay, because she called it to me. So the next, you know, the first time I ever got called the N-word by a European or white child, a white person, was by a child, amazingly younger than me, maybe about 2-3 years old, barely could talk, asked me if I was the N-word. And I was kind of puzzled a little bit because I'm like, what does this person know about that? And I knew that this was a bad word, and I knew that, you know, I didn't understand the concept. And this was like, you know, I might have been 6 or 7 at that time, and it kind of, you know, took me back a little bit. But it took me back because here's this person, but yet and still it did not have the same effect when my grandmother called me that, okay? Or, you know, as growing up, you know, you grow up, you're going to get called the N-word, you know, within our community, all right? You know, in terms of endearment. I've got buddies, you know, that kind of thing. See, so I'm not trying to, you know, trying to defend anybody's usage of this word, okay? Because what I'm trying to highlight is how it's okay that we say the word as if we own it, okay? Culture, you can hear, you know, I've heard, you know, people co-sign, oh, yeah, this is just one of those cultural, you know, colloquialisms that, you know, is taboo for everybody else except for if you're part of this group because this is how to use it, and that's acceptable.
Mm.
That's unacceptable to me because, like I said, it's easier to say brother and sister. All right. Matter of fact, it's the same amount of syllables if you want to, you know, go there. All right. So it's the same amount of syllables to say brother and sister than to call, you know, my, you know, N-word. All right. Now I'm just going to say the N-word because, like I said, I'm not that, you know, I don't want to say it, but for those who may be offended by it, that's what I'll do. All right. See, so, like I said, it's as though what's happening, because no one within our community is punishing any of these people who are, you know, any of these non-descendants of American slaves or non-African descent people who are using the N-word. We don't, in fact, the NAACP, you know, they might say, oh, yeah, you know, but the real meat of the punishment coming from sponsors and from, you know, businesses and different things like that who, you know, want to kind of, you know, say, okay, well, we're tired of this, you know, well, you know, but you're tired of it when it comes to somebody who is, you know, non-African or non-African of African descent, people who are, you know, descendants of American slaves or of African slaves. They say, well, okay, that's their thing. My thing is, when did we begin owning the N-word and nothing else? You know, let's think about what industry or market, okay, do we dominate? We don't even corner the market in our own, in products for our own hair care, yet and still everybody else around us is treating like, well, that's your word. You own it. And we're okay with that. Okay, I mean
let me jump in right here because you have to remember that there is a culture, and I'm not justifying behavior or the disclaimer out there. I'm not justifying behavior or the use of the word at all, but I will be the first one to raise my hand to say I'm guilty because there is a culture that, of course, I did not start. But a culture that I grew up, that I became a part of. When you grow up in South Central Los Angeles, you know, that's my nigga. I'm just going to say it. You know, that's what we say.
Yeah.
And then when Tupac came along, he said, well, it's not N-I-G-G-E-R. It's N-I-G-A, never ignorant, getting goals accomplished. And for this generation of people in the last 30 years, you know, they got acronyms for N-I-G-G-A or N-I-G-G-E-R, and this is their talent and their culture. And I'm saying that nobody on a larger front is addressing the issue of the use of the word, whether it's in an acronym or whether it's meant to be derogatory. Nobody has ever in our community addressed the issue of the use of the word. And I just want to put it out there. Okay, like for instance, you know, Tommy Hilfiger, he made a very derogatory statement. Now, he didn't use the N-word. He said that if I had known that minorities would wear my clothes, I wouldn't have made them so nice. Then you got people like, I'm gonna give you seven celebrities. You know, people, you know, what they call America's sweethearts. Madonna dropped the N-bomb. Gwyneth Paltrow, Charlie Sheen, Paris Hilton, Kim Allen, Mel Gibson, Alec Baldwin. Now, they had no direct effect on their abilities to make money or to have TV appearances. They didn't lose a dime. But what we lost was a degree of dignity and a display of self-worth because we didn't protest about it. Yeah, we might have got a few articles about it. You got people like you and I on this Blog Talk Radio talking about it, but did they suffer any consequences for their actions? Now, turn it around. And if I not a whole a owner inside of a chain of say McDonald's, and if I put up there, well, I don't want no crackers at my McDonald's in my hood. You know, they would advocate to shut me down and kick me out of the chain of business because the comment would be so derogatory. But there's power because they have the power to do that because they have the ownership. And how do they have the ownership? Because most of the businesses that are created, they are created and made successful right in our communities. So we had an issue with Starbucks. Starbucks went out there and said something derogatory or one of its managers at one of its locations or whatever, and we're still falling into Starbucks like it's legal. So I think that the acceptance of the word and the acceptance of the use of the word by us has never been addressed as being derogatory, because if Sean Puffy Combs walked up to a brother in the street and said, "What's up, my nigga?" the brother might not get upset. It's P. Diddy. It's Puff Daddy. It's cool. It's the language. You mean you feel less offended when your brother calls you that and more offended when your opposition calls you that? So what you think about that culture, Leonard?
It's absolutely disgusting. And I'm going to give you another good example. I too watch Netflix. And one of the programs I watch is a show called Last Chance U, basically about college athletes that went to big schools, that got into trouble, and got kicked out of those schools. This is the junior college circuit where they come and, you know, rebound so they can get back into, you know, a major college or maybe even go somewhere so they can get noticed to become professional athletes, all right, or even just to get their degree, all right. Well, this is a new season, and the coach, all right, is from Compton. And the coach is a European from Compton, played at Compton High, played at Compton Community College, went to jail. You know, he was immersed in our culture, okay? Immersed in our culture, all right? during the games, okay, so of course, you know, these players are going to be mostly us, descendants of American slaves or African Americans, you know, so. And if you know anything, like I said, about our younger culture, all right, they were hurling the N-word as insults, you know, to the other players, you know, like, you know, hey, somebody did a dirty play. Hey, get up off me, you know. Get up off me, N-word. Oh, man, you know, all this. And they all kinds of other cussing. The referees, all right, the referees went over to the coach and said, if I catch another player saying the N-word, this is the rules of the league. I catch another player saying the N-word, they'll be suspended for 2 games. So the coach had to pull his players, all right, and say, listen, we can't say the N-word, all right? You say the N-word, you're gonna, and they hear you say it, you're going to get suspended for 2 games, okay? So what's ironic about that is the coach was coaching, and there was just a tirade and just of cuss words, like you wouldn't believe. He was calling his players MFs and, you know, dropping F bombs. It was, you know, cussing like you hear cussing in the street, okay? And they were doing it during the game. So if the players called each other the N-word, they get suspended for 2 games. But the refs would allow the players to call each other MF, B, any other type of derogatory. So my point is that, okay, so we've selectively chosen, you know, the powers that be have selectively chosen this word to be a word that would, you know, cause punishment, but nothing else, all right? You know, so not to say that you know, the N-word is because the N-word for our people is the big joker, all right? I mean, if we play in spades, the N-word is the big joker, all right? MF is the little joker, all right? Because the history of that word comes from the N-word, okay? If anybody knows the history of MF. See, so, and that's a horrible, horrible history. So, like I said, is the complexity of this language. So my thing is, if you're going to make a rule, say, listen, no profanity, no racial epithet, all right, or any type of verbal insults that would, you know, be offensive language, all right. And I understand that, you know, playing sports, talking smack is kind of part of the culture, okay? It's part of the culture, all right? But when you start calling people names and you start, you know, and then, like I said, the N-word, okay? So I found that quite amazing, being that we were doing this show today. I found it quite amazing that the powers that be are harsher on the N-word, okay? Except, you know, and even in this case, and the only reason why they were like that is because of who was in the audience, okay? Because this was where they were playing at was in a rural community of, you know, mostly, vast majority, European, okay, descendants, all right, people of European descent, all right, you know, I mean, you're probably looking at like 95%, all right, except for on the field, all right, where you have the players, but 95%, all right, so the players, it probably was the exact opposite. It's like maybe 85 to 90% of players on the field were of African descent, and they're calling themselves that, and they had to be cleaned up, all right, by the league, mostly made up of Europeans, or people are finding this word offensive. But let's understand something else, too, is the N-word is intrinsically connected to America. So if anybody or anything owns the N-word, it's America, because America was the one that created this word to describe our ancestors. Hello. Okay, Queen, are you still there?
Okay, yes, looks yes, like sir. Maybe, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. So what I said, we wanted to hear from the listening audience as well. So anybody who has a question or a comment, go ahead and press one on your dial pad. But I want to give some background on this word, what is called noted history. Let me get my glasses. Okay. It says that the word nigga is a variation of Spanish and Portuguese language and comes from the noun word negro, okay, from Latin adjective, N-I-G-E-R, meaning black. In colonial America, now this is the key thing. Listen to this, and I want you to keep note of the date. In colonial America in 1619, y'all remember that number? John Roth used the word negars, spelled N-E-G-A-R-S, in describing Africans shipped to the Virginia colony. And he was an early English settler in North America and a successful tobacco plantation farmer in Virginia. And he was also the husband of our Native American sister Pocahontas. So now this is when the word started to be used in reference to African descendants. So I wanted to give you that history. And so now we are right on the brink of the 400th year of the use of that word. All right, we got everybody got their hands up. Okay, I'm going to 2984 first. 2984, last four numbers, your mic is live.
Hey, what's up? This is your brother, me, Sean.
Hey, by the time you show up, hey.
Hey, it's all good. Hey, I'm just getting out of class the other day. I'm in my car, so I'm doing hands-free. I want to say to you, you are a very interesting host, young lady, in doing this conversation because I want to revisit what you just said because I don't want nobody to miss what you just said. Let's go back over what the history of the word nigga, okay, the N word, and who founded it and when and what year did they do it, okay? Please do that again. I don't want to make it seem like you made this up. I want you to please repeat that again.
Okay, the word was formed and used first by John Roth in the year 1619, and that is the word that he referenced the African slaves that had been shipped to the Virginia colony. Pretty much.
Yes. And I just got out of class. This is the reason why I wanted you to repeat that. I just got out of class. I'm in class today with a young millennial, and he's Mexican. I mean, he's from Mexican descent, living in America. Okay. And I tell him about the descendants. I tell him I don't describe myself as Negro, Black, and African American. He says to me, man, I'm glad to hear you say that because I don't see y'all that way, no way. I said, wow. He's younger than me now, sis. He said, you know what? Can I just say it like this? He said, I think y'all dumbed down to try to make white people smell smart because y'all using the terminology that they used when they was in their early years when they were ignorant. He said, so y'all dumbed down by continuing to say the same word that they used when they were ignorant. I like, oh, no, he didn't say that. Did you just hear what I just said? This Mexican young kid just said to me, every time we using the word, we're dumbing down to them, okay? He said, I'm glad to hear you saying that you are descendants of American slaves because in all actuality, that's who you are. Do you think that was a coincidence? Come on now. Do you think that was a coincidence?
Probably not, Michonne. Probably not. It's just a sign of the times, as I say.
Let's talk about the Hispanic culture
for a moment.
Yes.
Because the word Negro, and that's how they pronounce it, Negro, N-E-G-R-O.
Negro, right.
Is a common word in Mexico referring to the Spanish brothers and sisters who have a dark hue of color. And so they're not, don't refer them to necessarily the Spanish culture of Mexico, which is formed by Spain, who were blonde hair, blue eyes, but they're saying that you are Negro, you are a black Spanish person with the African origin. But when they call them Negro in Mexico, they are not offended because it ties them back to a particular land, and so it's not considered a derogatory term. But even our Spanish brothers and sisters have adopted the culture. And I hear it all the time in boot camp, you know, my nigga this, my nigga that, you know. And you got Caucasian children that have adopted the culture, you know. So it kind of verifies that we set the stage of culture in our own communities, and somehow, no matter how negative it is, somebody will always pick up on that. So ultimately, I'm thinking Leonard's going to take us a little further, but ultimately the continuation of the youth is on us, because just like he said in the beginning, we own that, or we'll take ownership of that, but we won't take ownership of African-American. You call somebody an African-American, the first thing they say, well, oh, I'm not African, you know. They'll deny everything else, but they don't deny nigga at all, not ever. You know, even if they use it as an acronym, you know, never ignorant, getting goals accomplished, whatever it is, they'll own nigga. And then get offended when other cultures actually adopt it, use it, and sometimes not in a derogatory way, but to see a group of teenagers who are 16 and 17 and 18 years of age, and they're engaging in conversation, and every other word is N-I-G-G-E-R or N-I-G-G-A, however they want to pronounce it, and it's all right. Whereas 30 years ago, if you and I had been involved in a conversation, my brother could come up and say to my other brother, what's up, nigga, and it'll be cool. But even if they were engaged with Caucasian or Spanish people, if they would have said the same thing, it would have been all hell.
Yeah.
We show the responsibility. We show the responsibility of how people respond to us because of what we respond to and how we respond to it.
Yep.
So I think we're in a time now that we need to dismiss it and remove color, because it's all associated to color. It ain't got nothing to do. It had nothing to do with nothing else but a continuation of the mindset of the European culture that has indoctrinated us. And so it's time for us. I mean, hey, Leonard, man, I just want to tell you, to have this young Spanish Mexican young millennium says to me that we're dumbing down by using the word. He said we're dumbing down to justify European Americans using the word. He said we need to stop dumbing down. He said this, man. It's a word that he embraced, that we should be calling ourselves descendants of. He said we are Americans, but he said I respect the fact when you say you're descendants of American slaves because this country created slaves, and it makes sense. He said, but y'all dumbing down when y'all use the N-word, man. Y'all dumbing yourself down. I was blown
away,
brother.
Okay, hey, listen, guys. We got other people on the line with their hands up. So we're going to take another call from Kentucky, I think. Last four numbers, 2642. Your mic is live. You got a comment or question this evening?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I would like to know where y'all going with this. I don't know if y'all for it or against it, because you're giving out the background history of it. But as far as I see it, white people see it as one way and black people see it as another. And if you're going to fight the millennials,
how do you see
you're going to fight a losing battle.
How do you see it?
How I see it is what it is. Right now, what it is is that most black people accept it. They hear it, they don't have to like it, but they accept it. From my standpoint, they do.
And if you're going to fight this word,
the first people you're going to have to fight are the black people. Or the people of color, if you want to say that.
Shout out to Brother Leonard.
But if you look at the title of the show, guys.
Let me answer his question when he said, "Are we against it or for it?" If you look at the title of the show, it says the N word and America's businesses. Where we were actually going with that is that we continue to patronize businesses that look at us in a derogatory fashion. And it is because of the culture, and we did start off with the background of the culture, but we have a responsibility, and not only a responsibility, but damn it, we got a buying power in this country, because a lot of companies have benefited for starting in the ghettos of America, so to speak, and going where a people don't have franchises and businesses of their own. You got people over in Asia where my husband used to go and train people at Exxon Corporation, and those people who were interested in starting some entrepreneurships, he said that the Caucasian executives would tell them, start in black communities, so to speak, because they have no businesses there. So we have a buying power that everybody has tapped into except us, of course. And so the question on the program is why? Why do we continue? Because I bet you right now it's somebody that looks like us that's at Papa John's. It's somebody that looks like us with a cup of Starbucks coffee. It's somebody that looks like us that's watching Netflix. And somebody that looks like us that's a fan of all the people that I named that has used this word in a derogatory fashion. So I think the answer is if we can eradicate the use of the word in totality, then we got to take responsibility of eradicating the word and not make it so fashionable, because when we accept it, everybody else accepts it.
Hold on. Let me say this, though. Thanks to Hollywood exponentiates the word, okay? It makes it even more broader. It gives it life. Hollywood, you got to remember, the NAACP tried to bury the word, remember? About 10 years ago, the NAACP tried to bury the word.
BET, no, my brother, please, BET, I'm not going to lie, you sit here and say that Hollywood did that to us. BET. Okay, all I'm saying is that we gave them permission through BET to do.
We didn't get permission. We don't get permission.
Yes,
to them.
Yes, we did.
Gentlemen. Only one person can talk at a time. If you're going to disagree with him, disagree with him when he finishes. Okay,
yes,
go ahead.
Let me. Okay, all I'm saying If you go in, if you never heard Ben, the founder of Johnson of BET, he said after he sold the company, okay, he apologized for the music, the language, and the thing. Because before he came on with all that, people, we were at least, nobody knew how dysfunctional, I mean, everybody knew that we were dysfunctioning, but BET put it on Main Street, put it out there for everybody. And it allowed us to treat, we did this, okay? We treated our women like bees. We talked to ourselves at the end. It allowed us to just say and carry on. And so I was in the military during this time. I remember it because when I was stationed in Fort Sam Houston, I was dating a European woman. I remember this very well. She said, "That's interesting. BET wouldn't even be allowed to be played in the state that she was from because the mayor said it was reverse discrimination, and he thought it was wrong that our country allowed black entertainment to come on the air." And he said, "It's going to be the devastation to our country and to your demographics of people." And I believe it's true because Ben Johnson actually said if he could have done anything different, he would have changed the things that he did. And he said he's going to try to change it when he came out. He ain't changed nothing. He took his $1 billion and ran.
I disagree with that. I totally disagree with that. BET didn't have a damn thing to do with that because BET was airing what film companies and music companies were pushing. And they were airing based on what was popular and what was in demand. And what was in demand? Gangsta rap. So you got music executives. Music executives that sitting up at record companies saying that, oh, people like Common and people like Queen Latifah who are talking about the upliftment of a people and who are talking about unity, you know, your rap is just a little too safe and it's just a little too cozy and warm and fuzzy. And then you got people that came along like NWA and all of those who cussed and talked about gangster rap and talked about women and bling bling and selling dope, and all of a sudden the music industry put billions of dollars behind gangster rap. Even taking Dolores Tucker and Bob Dole and them who were trying to shut it down, and they were going after record execs. And guess where the demand came from? The demand didn't only come from African Americans. The demand
came from white
suburban teenagers who said, "I like Eazy-E and I like Ice Cube and I like Tupac and I like Dr. Dre," irregardless to what they were saying. Because they are making money.
So it's a new form of slavery. It was a new form of slavery.
Off of us. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Exactly. All I'm saying, you're absolutely right. All I'm saying is that we contribute to the condition. Every time I hear, like, we got to stand off on the side like we didn't contribute to it, I'm going to here to tell you the only reason we contribute to it because we had a lack of self-preservation and we didn't know who we were. So we allowed the industry. We allowed them to do it just but because we didn't know. But here's the time. All I'm saying, and Leonard, I think you need to always say that we're not dreaming and we're not just woke. We're focused. We're not those same people anymore, and we can change that moving forward. And that's all this conversation is about, as far as I'm concerned. Whatever was in the beginning, okay, cool. But we don't have to continue going forward as a new, awakened, woke, and focused demographics of people as descendants of American slaves that have decency, that has, I love my woman. I won't call my woman a B. I don't see my people as an N, okay? I will never dishonor us that way. I'm not an N. Don't accept it. So I reject the N, the Negro, the black, and the African-American. as a descendant of American slaves. That's the attitude as the men and women who's awakening now in the 21st century, and that's the attitude we got to have. It's our responsibility as elders to restore morals, principles, and dignity back to our community, not the European culture. It's our responsibility.
All right.
Let me add. I think that was Brother Adolf on the phone. Was asking
yes.
where we're going. Here's the thing: is when it comes to a derogatory term or a term of endearment, absolutely we are against it. Okay, I know I'm absolutely against it. I've made a vow not to call my brothers and sisters the N-word, okay, because of how I grew up and some of the things I've experienced. But let's understand this, is we can't just not say it completely, because that word is intrinsically tied to America, all right, and that's a chess move. All right, we don't want to, we do not want to completely be to where we're banning this word, all right, because like I said, it's in American literature, Mark Twain, Huck Finn, it's in all types of books and everything, so you don't want to do that, but you want to be able to discuss, all right, the objectively and for edification, all right, the word, all right, what does this word, where did it come from? What's the legal aspect? See, that's the one thing. We look at the emotional part of it, but we need to look at the legal aspect of this. This word, the word N-I-G-G-E-R, like Queen said, came from the Greek lexicon, N-I-G-E-R, all right, which the Greek, matter of fact, look at the Bible, and it's in Acts 13:1, all right, when they were describing Simeon. All right, the point of that is, not that whether is Simeon real or was he a real person or whatever. What we were looking at a condition at that time, all right, after, like the first century after Christ, all right, where you had people speaking the Greek language that were calling people of African descent, N-I-G-E-R, all right, Niger, or however you want, Niger, however you want to pronounce it. My point is that if African people are the most diverse people on the planet, all right, culturally, we are not all the same. Skin color, height, everything, okay? So for a group of people who are not African to look upon African people and call them, oh, they're just black people, that's a form of dehumanization and intolerance.
Amen.
I mean, you don't see my culture. You don't see that I'm a Maasai or I'm a this or I'm a that or I'm, You don't see that. All you just are just lumping us all together as one monolithic group of people, and that's it, because we never saw us as just a black person.
Thank you.
I got culture. I got history. I got tradition.
That's
I have
right.
ancestry. I got all of these things that make me who I am, okay? Yet and still, these people just want to – you just a color, okay? That's a form of dehumanization, and that has happened 2,000 years ago.
And we have allowed that to happen.
Well, no, not necessarily.
Okay.
Don't if we didn't understand it. All right. So like I said, as a 2,000 year old practice. Okay, we start looking at how can we legally apply this? Well, all right, if we can get some people and make them slaves and call them Negroes, all right, a Negro is a black person who does not have any sovereignty or belong to any nation. All right. Now we can reduce them to property or commodity, all right? So that's dehumanization as well. So let's come up to modern times, all right? Like Michonne said, the guy of the Latino guy of Mexican descent, when he was talking about, hey, you're dumbing down, all right? Because let's think about it like this: you would never have Jews calling another Jew a kite. You would never have
right.
Chinese calling other Chinese people chink, all right? Or you'd never
right.
have Latinos calling other Latinos spick, all right? So how in the hell are we calling each other the N-word, all right, to each other as either an insult or a term of endearment, all right? Understanding that our ancestors had no choice but to be called this word, all right?
Right,
so,
amen,
okay.
amen.
All right, hold on. Let's take another call. Okay. Last four numbers, 8532. Your mic is live.
Yes, thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum, dear sister. This is one of, the people that know you through Facebook. My name is Hassan McKinney. I'm in Philly. And, all praise to the Lord. Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
Alhamdulillah, all praise to the Lord. First and foremost, I'd like to say that the brother Adolf, I'm listening to, your response, and brother Leonard, I really do appreciate your response, but I cannot tolerate, it's just, I'm going to say it this way, aggressive questions, in the tone, in the mannerism, might be my phone because I bought a new phone, it's very loud, but the tone and the mannerism in which you ask a question, and I don't, specifically want to be emotional or anything of that nature because this is a forum, right? But I see it. I see the word nigger as an endearing term among my peers. And I am a brother who grew up, knowing that when a Caucasian, a white man in America, an American Caucasian, uses the word nigger, it's a different meaning. He intentionally is trying to express his supreme feeling of hatred or domination over black people. And this is only as a result of being educated by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as to the reality of how the Caucasian was given the right to rule us and, make a dead man. The word comes from necro. It comes from the Latin word dead. All right, so, now that we're beginning to grow and gain and develop a life based on the truth and the reality of a true and living God and people and culture and we have the right to say whether or not we're going to appreciate the person and the mannerism and the technique and the purpose of the person that is using the word. So if my nigga calls me my nigga, I can accept that, and that's cool with me, and we can communicate, and we can grow, and we can build and develop. Now, sister, you mentioned something that's pertinent to this conversation when you said, how can we take our awareness of the fact that there are very great and powerful money-making industries in America that use the word and stay in business, when we know that they are using the word in a derogatory yet extremely negative tone, but with the purpose of keeping the other man, the black man, down in the dead state where he comes and eats their filth and their wickedness by word or deed, right, and empowers them and allows them to take billions of dollars. And that's what I think is real important to me. How can we address a way to, say, focus on Papa John's and just somehow shake, say, $1 million, all right, that could be focused or utilized or taken somewhere else within the black community and the black nation in some manner to feed something that is pertinent and positive and powerful to our growth and development. Say, for example, I, Hassan McKinney, came up with a company where I was making Pampers, right? And we know how many women, families need Pampers, right? And know that money that we took from Papa John's is going to go to my business because I'm known and protected and provided for. It's really basic when we look at how the Nation of Islam takes the resources that are being either wasted or utilized in negative ways and pulls them and utilizes them for growth and development, building examples of what we can do with money that is being used or not used in a frivolous way. So that to me, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that we as a people need to develop some sense of when to attack the enemy, to take from him that which he does not utilize correctly, because his day is up. You know, he no longer is in power.
Well,
he doesn't have power.
I think Martin Luther King said it the best when he said that we need to redistribute the pain.
There you go.
And when you think about those things that pain you, when
mm-hmm.
you are a capitalistic society that builds its wealth on the backs of slaves and then continue throughout decades and decades of time to enforce laws and rules and statutes that will prevent the rise of a particular people, then I think that how we redistribute the pain is that for every opportunity that you've given us, we're going to use that as a power source to grow and develop ourselves, meaning that now that you've given us a job, and now that you've given us education, and now that you've given us abilities to learn and grow and institutions to learn business, now we need to redistribute the pain and build something of our own and have something in our own communities that we own. And therefore, since you don't like us, those of us who have hue to our skin, then therefore we won't have to patronize you. And then since you are a decreasing majority, let's see if you can make this kind of living on your own people. But
can I just jump in there because I want to first address the fact that I apologize for my aggressiveness and my passion. My aggressiveness and my passion comes from, and I'm a speaking in the manner. I'm gonna try to keep it together because when I went in the military at 17, I was a boy. My mother was so concerned. I come from Miami. My mother was so concerned because I didn't have a father in my life, and I didn't have no uncles. So all I had is a bunch of individuals who basically they were the Negroes, the Blacks, the African Americans, those who were indoctrinated by the system. And that was in 78 when my mother put me in the military. And she put me in the military with these words, "Baby Sean, I'm sending you away not because I want to put you in this military, but I'm sending you away to help you to become a man." Now, I say that because the military took a boy, and it helped me to learn how to become a man. Now, I know what everybody say, oh, I went into the white man. I know what the traditional thinking and talking and where everybody say, oh, he went into the white man's army and all that. Scratch all that. What I've come to realize is that I went into the system, the government system that developed this country. And what I've learned is that the very system taught me how to play on the monopoly board, as what Queen was talking about. See, what I've learned when I came back from the military, I was already a man. My nuts had already dropped. I had developed to be a senior non-commissioned leader. And when I came back into the community, I didn't go back home. I went to Louisville, Kentucky. And what I noticed, sir, is that when I got around people who looked like me, I noticed something very uniquely. I saw that we was functioning altered what it is to be a natural man. A natural alpha man learns how to put a perimeter about what it is that they seek for themselves, like myself. When I came to Louisville, I bought a home. I bought ownership. I came and lived in the community that would predominantly look like me. But I have a conservative view. So majority of the people I'm around have a liberal mentality, and they're indoctrinated by the mentality hearing. And so what
it's
I realized
show, bro.
Excuse me. what I realize is that my demographics of men, okay, just the men, have been altered from what it is to be natural men that knows how to take care of their children, their women, and have a self-determination. Now, that's where we at when we say, I no longer want to call myself Negro, Black, and African American because I have not seen the results. But as a descendant of American slaves, I can recreate myself, my brother. I can do the very thing that this country's done to us, as Queen was just saying. We can now reintroduce ourselves and reissue the pain that once was done to us, but now we're calling the shots in how things are done from our perspective as descendants of American slaves, dropping color, dropping the N-word.
If I may, I do believe that we have the great ability to focus on the fact that culturally speaking, there are a lot of Black people who have a comfort zone with the word nigger, and they also understand the coding behind it, and they can be encouraged to stop white people who have power and authority and a evil intention from making money, even though they are calling the consumer that gives them that money niggas. So I'm looking at how, yeah, we can, you know, eventually get that out of our dictionary. Maybe 20, 30 years from now, we could, you know, beat the drums and mentor. As a military man, you understand that sometimes a campaign takes years to complete. But there is a presently to me. Say what? All right, cool. You're on the forefront there. And the Queen, and I believe that I am on the forefront of taking some of the pain, and instead of accepting it, converting it, right, to an idea that we can stop the enemy by facing him and telling him, look, you owe us, all right? So the best thing for you to do is, you know, apologize, but get out the way and, you know, throw that check our way because you don't deserve that money. And that's the basics of what I'm saying.
Let me ask y'all a question.
What?
Let me ask y'all a question.
That's where philosophy that we disagree at.
Michonne, let me say this, man. I understand about your military background, but we're talking about the N-word, man. What you was talking about, man, is a different subject. And I understand that. But let me say this, man.
It's a development process, man. It's a development process.
Two questions. First of all, can a white person say the N-word and be accepted? Can he say it in such a way and be accepted? And the second question is, if a white man had enough money and says, if you allow me to say the N-word, I will write you a check for $1 million, would you accept that check? That's what I want to know.
All I'm going to say is that I've had conversations with you. See, you, the difference in this conversation, and I'm really, and Queen and Leonard,
yeah,
this is one of the things that we have to work on, is that there is an ideology, there's an ideology here that there's people that wants to continue using color as their foundation. I'm not using color. I am identifying with the first generation of slaves that were that humiliated, that was suffered under that terminology, and I wants to. They didn't have a voice. They couldn't stop the European cultures from saying that word. They could. They had to embrace that.
Can I get an answer to my question?
All I'm saying is that I want to carry their seed in the 21st century. I don't know about you all, but I've stood in front of. I'm 98%. I stood in front of European Americans, and I have said, don't call me Negro no more. Don't call me Black no more. Don't call me African American no more. I am a descendant of American slaves, and I'm not asking you for your permission, sir or ma'am. I'm telling you this.
Okay, hey, gentlemen, stop.
Yeah.
Everybody stop, okay? The first thing on this line is respect for one another. Stop it.
Yes,
everybody cannot talk at the same time. And we want to hear everybody's view. And it's important that we be respectful of each other because everybody has something to offer. Okay.
Yes,
so now, Leonard, did you have something you want to say?
Yes, I want to answer the brother's question. I want to answer Adolph's question and the brother who came on. He kind of alluded to what we were talking about as far as culturally using the N-word is okay with us, but it's not okay if somebody else uses it. I'm going to start with that one first, okay? Let's understand when we say the N-word to ourselves, all right, as a term of endearment, what that means really is that we share the same experiences. We're in the same boat, all right?
Yes,
that's
sir.
What that means. That's we're in the same boat. We share the same experiences. We come from the same place, and we deal with the same issues, all right? But here's the thing is, to me, you can use the word brother or sister, and it would mean the same thing, because brothers and sisters genetically two closest people on the planet, all right, because they share the same genetics, all right? If we're in the same boat, we may not all same. We might be in the same situation, but we might not all be of the same people, all right? See, so, yeah, okay, so maybe brother and sister is number one and N-word is number two. I would prefer to go to brother and sister, because now that eliminates other people saying, well, if you can say it, how come I can't say it? See, so that eliminates all of that right there. All right, to answer Brother Adolph's question, it is not acceptable for anyone, all right, to use the N-word derogatory or as a term of endearment, and that's including us. So therefore, you can't pay me off for saying, okay, well, let me pay you so that we can go ahead and just be able to use this, you know, like because we want to use. No, this is unacceptable. So that's where we got to be as a people. We ain't trying to be like, well, we can't say it, period. We can say it in, like I say, in through edification, through. I mean, because when you study history, all right, and somebody's going to ask you, well, where did this word come from? Well, what is it, you know, and you have to use it, all right? So it's different. We're talking about context here, all right? The
right.
Context of using the word to edify.
Now may I comment? Now may I comment?
Yeah.
Now may I comment?
Real quick.
Okay.
Isn't
it my turn? Wait. Wait a minute. Hold on. Who's talking?
I'm trying. Adolph is very emotional. I'm trying to take the third turn because he spoke and then Leonard spoke, and I just wanted to make a small statement. But the brother is emotional.
Go ahead, brother.
All right. I pray for peace and clarity, unity, and the continuation of the progress that we can make as this group, and focus on the best way for us to utilize an available resource to enrich those progressive and powerful Asiatic African American people who believe that there's a future that we are going to need to feed monetarily, the economics. And may Allah guide us and, you know, give us that. If I've offended anyone, please forgive me. I pray that, you know, I will not continue that bad behavior. I'm willing to, at any point, address and continue to hold the post of not calling anyone a nigger if it would help the ideal idea of us getting the economics that we need to build a better future for our people than has been in the past. I'm all for that. Even if I have to, every time I find myself saying the word, you know, put a dollar in the jar and give it to my granddaughter, because I really do believe that it's us. I know it's in me.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with me. So thank you for allowing me to share that part.
Thank you for coming to aid, brother. I appreciate you making that acknowledgement. All we're saying is that one of the things I got from the military, where Adolph wanted to question Eddie, only thing the military taught me is that if I can't have respect for myself and build a perimeter around myself and take responsibility for my wife, my children, and my self-preservation, and how I send that message out to everybody else, how can I dare? How could I even ask of anyone to treat me better than I'm treating myself? Okay? That's all we're saying.
I want to say that I'm treating myself. I'm speaking to myself good. I'm talking to my woman good. I'm talking to my own brothers good. I'm showing some love to my own brother. So how dare you shoot me in the street? How dare you mistreat me? If I'm treating my own people with love, if I'm talking to them with love, and I'm showing them the street, if I'm treating my women, I'm taking care of my wife, I'm taking care of my children, I'm giving them economic aid, how dare you shoot me? How dare you call me out my name? How dare you talk to me less than I'm talking to myself? Hello, that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, let's hear from last four numbers, 5456. Your mic is live.
How y'all doing? It's Brother Gene.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, what's
Brother
up, Gene?
Gene? How you doing?
Hey, how are y'all? I just want to say this, and I hope this is a learning experience for all of us, or what you answer to.
Yep.
Oh.
Exactly.
Hmm. Yes.
You are what you answer to.
You call me every name in the book but my name, I ain't responding.
There you go.
Amen.
And another thing is, you know, the word nigger, and I told a Caucasian this before, that's a mindset.
Yes.
But when you know yourself.
No.
When you know yourself, you don't become offended by that word. When you know who you are. But it's a mindset. Any nationality of people can have a nigger mindset.
Right.
So
that's right.
Just throw that out there. You know, you are what you answer to, you know?
Right.
And that word is
going to
be
opened up a can of worms. He's opened a can of worms.
That derogatory word is meant for black people, not everybody. You can use it on anybody, but it's meant for black people. So you open up another can of worms when you say that you can have a mindset, okay? That's one way to look at it. But there's black people who don't want to be called niggas, and there's niggas that accept being called niggas. I mean, that's evidence.
Let me say this. I'm not offended by that word, bro.
Okay, so let me ask a question right quick. Hold on.
I'm cool with that.
Because I'm trying to figure out where Adolf is coming from. So, Adolf.
Because I know who the real nigga is.
Right.
It ain't got nothing to do with you and me.
I know that's right.
I could break down a little something about where Adolf is coming from. Let us hear from Adolf,
because I want to ask Adolf, since he was saying no every time Brother Gene says something, I want to hear your perspective on the N-word.
I heard you.
All right. From my understanding, what he said was that using the N-word, calling people nigga is a mindset. We are responsible for what you called or what you answer to. You are what you answer to. I got that correct?
Yeah.
So if somebody calls a white person an N-word, so that makes that white person that nigga, right? He makes from understanding and how you say it. And then earlier in this conversation, somebody said being a nigga, you got to share experience. So I'm kind of confused on which side of y'all take it, because
that's not what he said. He said that when another brother calls him nigga, he said that he can relate to that as them being from the same experience, from the
same culture.
Okay, I got that.
That's what he said.
I got that. All right, and this new brother just came on and just said that you are what you answer to.
Hey, but if I may, Adolf, he's saying according to, he's saying, no.
Let me say this, brother. You know, I'm 51 years old, and where I've grown to, you know, I'm around, you know, people I come up with, you know, down in the hood, if you want to call it, but the vibration, the frequency of vibration that I carry, they don't call me nigga.
Right. Okay.
They don't call me nigga, but they call, you know, they, it's, 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 what I'm saying is that you are what you answer to. And
that's the point I have.
I'm not offended by that word, bro. And white folks
okay,
know.
You're not.
Oh.
You're not.
So,
but you just made a statement that you are what you answer to, and the general conversation is we're talking about the word nigga. So are you saying you're accepting that that nobody should accept being called a nigga? Because if you answer to that, then that must be what you are. That's how
Caucasian,
I perceive what you're saying.
If a Caucasian call me a nigger in the workplace, call me a nigger, I'm not offended by that. And I'll ask them, what is a nigger? You tell me what a nigger is. And he won't be able to tell you. He's going off of old...
He will tell you what it is, but he'll give you his own definition. He'll tell you what it is, but it'll be his definition.
If it's not true that you're dealing with attitude behind the word. If you have the proper judgment of what the person means when they say in the mannerism in which they say, you know, you're my brother, you're my sister, you know, you're a nigger, you're a kite. A person intends to offend you, then you should accept it as offensive. And utilize whatever power you have to defend yourself or, you know, get away from that person or put that person in check. And when the Caucasians are talking about people of power, you know, talk about it that way, they're doing it in a derogatory, they've attacked us as a people.
So we
need to take and instead of, okay, you know, that's a painful thing, we need to group up and address how are we going to redistribute or utilize
ourselves?
Let's take hold of that instead of just laying back and taking that aggression and saying, okay, we're going to beat her. It's okay. You can beat me. You can beat me jealous if we're wrong. We're not wrong. You're wrong. So now it's time for us to focus on how to remove you from your position and take your power, since there's only a certain amount of power available to everybody in America. Let's take some of that power and use it to re-educate and redevelop a new people who no longer use the word nigga. Show the Caucasians the proper example, because there's some Caucasians of that power who don't even know, all right?
Listen, this is an hour and a half show, and give respect to our listening audience, because we got people that want to make comments, and I'm trying to keep your mics open so you can dialogue, but the one thing you can't do and be understood is to talk over one another, and I'm trying to give everybody a fair amount of time, so we're going to take another perspective. Last four numbers, 8277. Your mic is live, Brother Jihad Faizan Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Well, like a slaw, baby boy.
Like a slaw, brother.
Good afternoon to everybody, man. I see y'all having some serious conversation right now.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Can you hear me, sis? Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, I'm in the car, so it was transferring. The audio was transferring, I'm sorry, from my phone to the car. So I apologize for that. But yeah, now I was saying that this is some high-spirited conversation, but I just wanted to chime in. Now, I'm not sure, you know, the exact age of everybody on the show, but from what I can hear, just from the panel. What I was gonna say is that I'm the generation below you all. So I would be
right. He's son's age.
I'm 37.
So he's under 40.
Right, I'm 37. Right. I'm 37 years old. So I'm speaking with it from, you know, I'm coming from a place of, you know, how my generation dealt with it, and I just wanted, you know.
Right.
Every time I come on, I always give my experience. But my mom, when she was a young lady, she was at a school, and a young white boy called her a nigger, and my mom tried to drown him. And so my mom was actually banned from the pool. But it actually kind of started a little bit of a fight, you know, like a not necessarily like a race war, but it started like some fight, you know, because everybody, you know, started to chime in, you know, the community chimed in on that. Because, again, like I said, my mom was banned from the pool. But this is around the time where they started to integrate the schools. And it was very in particular because one of the high schools in Pompano Beach, Florida, Broward County, Florida, for those that are aware of it.
Oh my God!
Yeah, so I'm from South Florida. So like this was around the time that they started to integrate the schools. So it was, you know, it was a real touch and go type of situation. And my mom learned a lot from that. She learned a lot from it, you know, and some of the ideals and concepts that you all are giving right now are some of the things that she implemented, you know, in her teachings to us, her children. However, like I said, I'm a generation, you know, beneath you all. So for us, it has, you know, different terms. Myself, from what I'm hearing, I love the high-spirited conversation, and from what I can hear, Brother Hassan, I was really loving where you were going with it, because I think what the law needs to take is that that word used in a derogatory sense. And see, we can find the reasoning and the language to, you know, to formulate it where we can actually identify in particular when someone is using it in a derogatory sense. Because for me, from what my unique perspective, and I'm not here to, in, you know, to bash anybody else's belief, Brother Michonne, I love what you're doing. I thank Allah for you because you have the general concept, and I told you that when you came on, you know, when
yes,
we interviewed
did.
From before. Yes, like, I love the concept. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, bro. But I do also want to tell you, for me, man, listen, I've been saying this for years. Niggas and crackers really stop having clutter for me because I understand the derogatory sense for both words. I understand that there are some white people or some black people, rather, who have a white supremacist agenda. And there are some, you know, there are some white people also who have a, you know, a slave mentality. So it's really just in. To me, it's in that individual. It's how those words are used. When I'm with my friends, I'm with my peers, it's nigga, 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 nigga all day. You feel me? Like, but then when it's, you know, when I'm in public, I understand that there is a different connection to it. Now, why do I, you know, I know some people can look at it from a hypocritical standpoint, but, you know, as, you know, why would you use it, big brother, if you don't want anybody to say it? Well, the point of it is the power behind it. If a black person called me a nigga, even if they did it in a derogatory sense, I'm not necessarily offended by it because it's like, nigga, you a nigga. What the fuck you talking about? Like, you understand what I'm saying? But at the same time, I do recognize that a black person can use it in a derogatory sense, and depending on their position in my community, they can even enforce it in a derogatory way too as well. A black man can do it to me. Just as quick as a white man could. So I'm not going to say that I don't use the word, but I understand the power behind it. And to me, you know, with my friends, it can be used as a derogatory sense too. Like, as a friend, like, can you believe this nigga right now? It can literally, a black man can be saying that word in a derogatory sense. But at the same time, like, what ramifications are there of it? The man from Papa John's using nigga. Now, that not only was it used in a derogatory sense, but he was still looking to capitalize. And to me, that's why I believe, especially in the context of this phone call and this movement, Brother Hassan, you are definitely on to something. Because Brother Michonne, you too as well. Because I think if we were to infuse the two ideologies right now that's going on, there can be a legal ramification of someone using that word in a derogatory sense.
And there you go.
Not only do we take that, do we take those funds? Yes, because I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna answer that question. a white man used the word, and oh, can I use it? Can I use it again? Nah, you can't use it again. But I'm gonna take this $1 million too, and that's if you want to keep your patronage. But you still gonna have to earn that patronage back. And on top of that, that $1 million that you give, this is gonna go towards developing the same communities that you sitting your monkey ass up there capitalizing.
There you go. Come on. Come on.
You can try it, Cracker, but we ain't stupid out here. You feel me? So that's
come on.
That's where my generation is coming from. I think that you. That's what I'm saying. This the power in this phone call. What I really just hope my elders are really listening to right now, the power in this phone call is just that we need to continue to move towards that legal ramification.
I love that you're saying that, man. I love that you're saying that.
Come on.
And I just wanted to say I love that you – excuse me, Queen. I just wanted to say I just have to acknowledge my brother for acknowledge because whenever the young generation understand that the older generation – we're not saying that we don't see where y'all coming from. We're just trying to bring some decency and some order to our culture because we're just tired of other people mistreating us. And the only way I know how to stop people from mistreating me is that first I got to get some decency and I got to get some order around me and show that if I don't treat my own people that way, I'll be damned. I'm going to put up with you treating me and talking to me that way. And I do want to appreciate the man, my brother, talking about the legal ratification. It is all about business, man. And Queen spoke to that about the idea that all we're trying to do is try to put some legal turn because America done legal stuff to us culturally. It's time that we flip it. It's time that we flip it. And we create our own legal terminology. There's a thing that we say in Dossie. We got our own Dossie wisdom. We got our own Dossie language. We have our own Dossie understanding. We have our own Dossie maturity that we're speaking terminologies that we're saying that we no longer want you looking at us as a Negro, Black, and African American. We are honoring the first generation of slaves that did not have the ability. The men who could not stand and defend themselves when that word was used, I'm standing up for them. I want to stop that word from being used among European cultures, and I want to stop it from being used because I want to say I'm honoring the first generation of slaves, those men who could not defend their wives, couldn't defend their children. They had to put up with the system mistreating them. That's all we're trying to do. We're trying to bring some decency, some pride, and some culture, and some some strength back to us that make our young people be proud of who we are. That's all.
I have a small suggestion how we could go about getting that done. Just comes to mind. If we could dialogue on a black business in America that's successful and progressive, that we all benefit from, and just ask anyone we know, neighbors, friends, family, radio program, right, not to spend $1 on Papa John's, but go spend it on that particular black business, and we could just talk about that for, a month and see how much buying power we've taken away from Papa John's and given to that particular black business. I mean, I know we all have favorites, but the more we talk about it, the more it's going to come up that there's some black business in America, right, that's doing good, doing well, healthy, and we're all happy with, right? And just take that $1 that they might have spent, say, this week, next week, or following week, right? And I'm doing my best to appeal to the wisdom and the strength that we have, right? Let's take that $1, y'all, and instead of taking it to Papa John's because he's aggressive and he's negative and he hasn't been punished, right? And we'll all know what we're talking about. And go over to, we can, all agree on a particular franchise. But anything is black owned. I don't care if it's I don't want to get too far too fast or say too much about it, but that's my suggestion.
Yes,
that's
sir. Okay. Now we are at the end of the program. I'm sorry.
Wow.
And
wow.
This has been such a powerful, powerful dialogue that we just can't stop here. So
right.
Join us next Saturday. right here at 7 p.m., and we're going to pick up part two, and we're going to talk about how we can redistribute the pain. And it doesn't matter if it's a white person, if it's a black person, if it's a Asian person, a Mexican person, that word is derogatory in its meaning, in its initial use, no matter how you picked it up, no matter how you decide to use it, the intent, the original intent is what is brewing up in America today, and we have to do something about it. So if you want to be my nigga, you can be my nigga, but be my nigga in a sense of brotherhood and unity and redistributing the pain to those that have pained us since our sojourn here in America. So that's our show this evening. Join us next Saturday right here at 7 p.m. And may Allah and God and whoever you believe in continue to bless you. Good evening, y'all.
I mean, good evening. Peace, everyone.
She said, good evening, y'all. That motherfucker, look, yo, let's get their money. Let's get their money. Give me money. Give me money.